Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Running a little bit late this morning. I have to take the blame this time, just my fault. Got distracted by something and realized I was not streaming yet, and it was time to. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Hopefully you know who you are. We are together in 1 John in these morning devotional studies where we sit down together over a cup of coffee and we enjoy a time together in God's Word. We're in 1 John chapter 2 today. As we're continuing through, we're going to look at verses 7 through 14 as we continue to look at what it means for us to live as those who walk in the light. Remember, chapter 1 had told us God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, but we walk in the darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. And very much of the practical outworking in 1 John is what it means to walk in the light. What does that look like? How is a life characterized? That is a life walking in the light. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into today's passage. Father, we thank You for Your Word, which is truth, and which is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank You that Your Word penetrates deeply to our hearts. It cuts us so that You may heal us. Your Word is powerful. Your Word is truth. Your Word is life. So please write it on our hearts today. May the power of Your Word break through our sinful selfishness. May the life of Your Word impart life to us, and may the light of Your Word guide us to walk in Your ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 14. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is the true light and hates his neighbor is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I am writing to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Amen. That's our portion of 1 John to look at this morning. And let's go back and take a look at verses 7 through 11. This may be all we have time to cover well this morning. We may end up saving 12 to 14 for tomorrow. We'll see. So this is kind of confusing language that John uses in this section, because he says, this is no new commandment, but you've had it from the beginning. It's the word that you heard. He says all that in verse 7. So verse 7 says, here's a commandment, and it is no new commandment. Right? It's something that you've had from the beginning in the word that you've heard. But then he turns around in verse 8 and says, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So what are these two verses trying to communicate? Someone has once observed that John, as a writer, you know, he's a fisherman from Galilee, Greek would probably not have been his first language, his heart language, the language he spoke in the home. He probably would have grown up speaking maybe Aramaic or Hebrew, combination of those sort of related languages. So he writes as someone who's not a native Greek speaker, and he writes as someone who doesn't have a lot of formal education, and then he doesn't use big words. You know, sometimes you read Luke or Paul, and you can tell they have a lot of education, and they know their Greek really well, right? And John's not that way. John's very simple and plain, and when you take Greek academically, John's the first writer that you learn how to translate because it's kind of the easiest Greek to translate. But that's not the same thing as saying that what John says is simplistic or simple in any way. He uses very plain, very ordinary vocabulary, but he communicates profound and deep truths that are sometimes very mysterious. And here's an example of this. There's nothing particularly hard about any of the words or terms he's using, but what does he mean that this is not a new commandment, but at the same time it is a new commandment? Well, let me do my best to try to unpack it to you. Is it a new thing that God wants us to love one another? Because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about loving one another, and that's going to be a theme that's going to run throughout 1 John. We should keep his commands, right? If we know him, if we're walking in the light, if we love him, if we've come to know him, we should keep his commandments, and especially the commandment to love one another. John puts that one at the top of the list of the commandments that you must keep if you profess to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So is it something new that God says, love one another? Well, no, that goes all the way back to the very beginning, right? When God created Adam and Eve, you could go back to the very beginning. He created Adam and Eve and he gave them to each other and he wanted them to love one another and to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But there was a gift of love and a command of love. Now that was marriage, married love, right? But then with Cain and Abel, you have this sin where Cain was jealous of Abel and he resented Abel and then he killed Abel. God didn't want that. God wanted Cain and Abel to love one another as brothers, and Cain violated that commandment. So this is no new commandment. It's been from the beginning. It's in the Word. It's in the very nature of God because God is love, as John's going to tell us in chapter 4. But at the same time, it is a new commandment in the sense that love has come. Love has come into the world in the Lord Jesus Christ. Love has put on flesh and blood and has walked among us. And John, as we saw in the opening verses of his sermon letter, he saw him, he heard him, he touched him, the Word of life, who is love incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus coming into the world, he's the light that's already shining. He's the light that's come into the world. And with his coming into the world, the darkness is already passing away. In other words, the complete fallen, broken night of sin is being pushed back by the light of Christ's kingdom, by the light of his glory, and by the light of his love. And so while this commandment to love one another is certainly nothing new, it is new in that Jesus has demonstrated it for us, has embodied it for us, and his light, by the power of the Holy Spirit, his light is shining in our hearts in such a way that we can, in fact, walk in it with a kind of power and strength that comes from him that wasn't there readily available before Jesus came. Before Jesus came, we didn't know exactly what love looked like because there was never a person who perfectly loved on earth. And we didn't have the constant indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit for all believers to help us to walk in that love. And so based upon this, what Jesus has brought into the world, John says in verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Again, I said this is an unpacking of what does it mean to walk in the light. What is light again? Light is truth and righteousness. Light is everything that is good in God, is that metaphor for light. Light shines with truth, fidelity, faithfulness, righteousness. And if you are in the light, if you are walking in the light, and you hate your brother in Christ, you despise him in your heart, you're being like Cain was toward Abel. James, in his letter, which might be the earliest letter of all the books of the New Testament, in his letter, he talks about how our hatred for one another is murdering someone in our heart. And of course, he got that from Jesus himself, who says, if you hate someone, you've already murdered them in your heart. And there's no murderer. You know, the kingdom of God is not a place for murderers, for heart murderers. And so if you hate someone, if you despise them, and they're your, especially if they're your brother or sister in Christ, John says you're still in the darkness. And that means we need to repent of that, because that's totally out of step with someone who is in the light. So verse 10 clarifies the positive part of this. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Now that doesn't mean we're never going to sin, we're going to be sinlessly perfect. That is not what that means. But what it does mean is that if you love your brother from the heart, it shows that the light of God is in you, that you are walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you belong to God. And so there's not a fear that you're going to fall away, because you're showing evidence that yours is not a mere profession of faith, but actually the deep possession of that faith. Verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, there are people who claim to be Christians, who name the name of Jesus Christ, who attend church, who worship and who sing, and yet their hearts are full of hatred, resentment, conniving, anger, jealousy toward their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they see no need to repent of it. In fact, they've convinced themselves in a self-righteous way that they're doing God's work, that this is what God wants of them. First John couldn't be any clearer that that's not what God wants of you. To question someone's motives, to be suspicious of them, to say, well, he said this, but I know he really means that. Oh, you do? Are you God now? Are you the judger of hearts? That is sinful. It's wrong. It's wicked. And we need to love our brothers, which means giving people the benefit of the doubt, which means taking them at face value, which means showing them kindness and respect, which we would want to receive from them. And this is absolutely essential to what it means to be walking in the light. Social media has introduced to the Christian community a completely different set of social norms. And I would propose to you that the way many Christians talk about one another and treat one another on social media is in fact darkness and worldliness and rebellion against God, even when they're claiming to do so in the righteous cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're gossiping about someone, if you're slandering someone, if you're questioning their motives, if you're saying, I know what they really are all about, if you're delighting in the sin that has gotten a hold of your brother or sister, if you're delighting in the downfall of someone, all of that is darkness. Listen, John couldn't be any clearer. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. So let's go to the positive, because I don't really want to end there. Verses 12 to 14, John addresses children, little children, I think he's talking about everyone in the church. And then he's talking to the fathers, the older men within the church, and then the younger men within the church who are coming up. And it's this wonderful poetic language. The ESV structures it like a poem, and it is very much poetic language. Listen to the good things that he's encouraging us in. Because that could be hard. To hear those words could be like, well, I still do struggle with hating people. I still do struggle with sin. And so John gives this assurance. John does this a lot. He'll bring the weight of what God asks of us and then the assurance of what God has done for us. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've professed faith in him, if you're trusting in him for salvation, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. That's Jesus. Think about that. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know you are in a loving relationship with him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. You see, because Christ has overcome the evil one, and I am in Christ, I have overcome the evil one. What great encouragement. I am writing to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. That's the truth of who we are if we belong to the Lord. We don't need to be hating one another. We don't need to be getting in the muck and the mire on social media and flinging mud or talking about people behind their back or backstabbing people or whatever. We don't need to be doing that because that's not who we are. That's not really who we are. And that's not what God has made of us. This may have been a song that was sung in the early church because there is repetition and it is poetic, or it may have been something that was commonly known and professed, or it may have just been a little poem that John made up on the spot. We don't really know, but the importance of it is when we're struggling with sin and we know it's wrong, part of what we need is to be reminded of who we really are, whose we really are, who it is that we know, and the victory that he's given to us. We are the children of God. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have come to know the Father and the Son, and we have been given the strength. We've been given the victory. The victory is ours. We have overcome the evil one because it's in that strength and that strength alone that we can truly love one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for rescuing us from sin and death. Lord Jesus, thank you for laying down your life that we might be redeemed and ransomed and made whole. Help us to walk in the light, even as you are in the light. Holy Spirit, shine the light of God upon our hearts, that we might walk in truth and in love, because truth and love are to characterize the children of God, not slander and hatred. Father, have mercy on us for the times when we slink back into the darkness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friday morning, we will continue walking through chapter 2 of 1 John. I hope you can be with us. Have a blessed day in the Lord.